You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
We dive into so many different aspects of business and the digital world here on this program. And one of the areas that we don't talk about enough, but it's a thing where people, when it's off or it looks a kind of way, people notice it. And Curtis, that is your smile.
Yeah, that's
and
big.
Your smile can have some of the biggest impacts before you even say a word. Judgment done passed 20 times.
It's true. It is so
judgment
true.
Judgment done passed 20 times, right? Curtis, you ever been in a situation where you were in a meeting, you're meeting somebody for the very first time, they're an important person, you're looking to do some business, you're meeting them for the first time, and as soon as they open their mouth, you can't stop looking at their mouth because there's a lot going on. Yeah. And then before you know it, 10 minutes in, you ain't hear a word.
It's true. Yeah. That's real.
You ever been in that situation?
That's
Curtis?
Real. On both ends of the spectrum. Good and very good. Have you ever also been in a situation where you met somebody and you just can't take your eyes off of their teeth? It just looks totally amazing. Yeah, I've been in two ends. Yeah.
Curtis, I'm glad you said that, right? So before we bring on our guests, I'm just setting the stage for why this conversation is so important, right? Curtis, when you have met that person where you look at their teeth and you just can't stop looking at them, how much more do you end up listening to that person?
Oh, yeah.
When you enjoy their smile?
That's amazing. That's a real good revelation you give me. That's good.
No, seriously, because this is the conversation, this is why we're having it. So much of what we have to do today, whether you are an employee and you're looking to climb the corporate ladder, your smile can help you or it could work against you.
Oh, yeah.
If you are in business, people associate having smile with trust.
Yeah.
Oral health is a huge thing in terms of your actual physical fitness as well.
Yeah.
Problems that's going on in your mouth can have adverse impacts on your actual body.
Yeah.
And if it's one thing that I think we are starting to learn, as you know, as young men that we are, Curtis, is that when you are building your business, your physical health, your health in general, has to be on point.
Yeah, that directly affects the your business itself. That helps your business grow. I actually go even as far as to say is that your business success follows your physical and your health success.
Correct, because if you are not in your best physical shape while building your business, brain fog, sleepless nights, these are things that could impact you. So anyways, as we get into today's program, we're going to be looking at your smile and how it is more than just your appearance. It influences your confidence, your perception, and in many cases, it impacts your opportunities.
Yeah.
So this week, we have Dr. Jerdon Lamorel to explore what it really means to build a dental practice in today's digital age, because we know there's hundreds of graduates that come out of UE dental program every single year. And, you know, they are looking for guidance, they're looking for help. I see it almost every single year. People graduate but don't exactly know what to do. So we want to get into, you know, building a practice in today's digital space. And then we're going to be going beyond dentistry. We're going to be stepping into the business of dentistry. So what it actually takes to build that practice, the digital shift, what are some of the things that dentists have to do that they probably were never taught in school? Because why would they be teaching about social media and building your brand in dental school, right? But then more importantly, you know, how your smile impacts your perception. You know, is your smile costing you deals? Is it costing you those job opportunities? And these are things that, I mean, yes, we could sit here and say we're all saints and nobody is shallow and nobody is judgmental, but truth be told, when some people come and you are in a business meeting, or worse yet, if we had HR in this conversation, they would have a lot to say.
Yeah.
When they sit down with candidates and that person, again, starts talking and oral hygiene just isn't there, that's impacting a lot. So we're going to be diving into all of that today. Dr. Jordan, how are you doing today? How are you?
I am fine. I'm excited.
See that smile? Yeah.
You're ready to listen.
Yeah.
You're ready to listen once you see the smile. which country you in? Because I know you're between BVI and Trinidad. Where are you at today?
I'm in Trinidad at my dental office, Iconic Dentistry, today. So we in Trini.
Nice. Okay. Curtis, you see, this girl's living the life, you know.
That's it. BVI. Goals.
When she fed up with Trinidad, let me jump in BVI. When she fed up with BVI, let me jump back over.
Yeah, life goes.
It's called balance, man.
All right, you know? That's what we're calling it now. Life goals.
but when I see everybody in different spaces leveraging the digital space with their particular fields and creating the lifestyles that they want, it's amazing. Because, you know, somebody living in Canada right now or living in the diaspora is listening to this conversation like, wait a minute, she's a traveling dentist, she's between BVI and Trinidad and Tobago. That is goals. So shout outs to you for even, again, just being able to construct that type of lifestyle. Because, you know, a lot of us would love to be between an island like BVI and be back home.
Oh, you know,
so let's kick things off for the people that, you know, this is the first time hearing about you. You know, what drew you into dentistry? You know, is this something that you woke up, you know, at 5 years old, you're like, you know what? I want to be a dentist. where did this all start from? Take us through the beginning.
Well, I actually at first, you know, when you're a child and you're growing up, you're not too sure exactly what you want to do. But I was very ambitious, so I was like, okay, let me do medicine. And if I had to do medicine, I would have wanted to be a pediatrician. But I was thinking to do something along the lines of helping people. But as you grow older and you see the quality of life of a medical doctor, it's not the best at the beginning, especially. So very quickly, I decided, you know what? I want proper work-life integration. And the quality of life. You know, I'm not about the shift system.
Crazy.
I'm not about being on call for all those hours. You know, I want to be able to enjoy my time fully from the beginning, which dentistry has definitely allowed me to do from good day one.
Right. That's so good.
So it's allowed you to do it from day one. So, you know, was this a passion? Like, where did the idea first start from? Because there are a lot of people that when they're thinking about careers right now, you know, choosing a career today is difficult because there's so much that is changing. But then also there's professions that have been around for the dawn of time, but it's probably changed today too. You know, so somebody that's entering in the dental space today might not have had to, you know, gone through some of the same things that you would have gone into. So is this still a field that you recommend people to get into today?
Yes, I actually think dentistry is one of the hip professions, especially because of social media, and they get to see it a lot.
That's it.
A lot of people, they have to choose between medicine and dentistry. And these days, I find they're very more towards dentistry because of what I would have mentioned before. And you have a broader range of areas you can thrive from, you know, because you're not just a medical doctor. You will also at some point have to know how to deal with business aspects of it. You have to be able to speak properly. There's a lot of convincing patients and educating patients about what it is they have to do. You know, you end up having an all-rounded type of personality. So it's definitely one of the professions where you have the sharpest mindset.
That's so good.
Curtis.
No, I am thinking, and this is one of the things that is always on my mind when I'm talking to business owners, having the particular talent in a particular area to function in doesn't mean that you're capable of running a business. Now, I have I have a music academy in Trinidad. Now, there had to come a point in time where I had to shift from saying, I am really, really good at helping people with music, and then switching to, I have to now run a business. It's two different things. When did that shift happen for you, that you realized that you were way more than just a dentist, you're a business owner?
Well, I have to thank my parents for this, because I was always a leader. My mindset was always on that part of, I can do anything that I want to do. So with regards to, from the time I knew I was doing dental school, I knew I wanted at some point to open a business. Mm. So I was already in that mind frame. So I would already shift my paradigm to listen to certain things, watch certain things, obsess about it, so that it becomes so simple and it's like second nature for you to do. So that aspect of it, I actually find now being in it, it's actually very exciting, and it's very rewarding, because you're not doing things in vain. I don't like doing things in vain. So you want to make sure, you know, I have a certain output, and you get a certain input, and I get a certain output from it. And you see not only the aspect of me personally, but even my staff members, a lot of them, I had to teach them dental assisting from scratch. And you see them evolve, and you build character and these types of things. And it's very rewarding in that aspect as well.
Now, tied to that question, what are one of the hardest lessons you've learned? Because you've been doing this for a little bit. What is one of the hardest lessons you had to learn to bring you to where you are now in business?
You can't be an introvert, no?
No, you can't hide.
And what it is, a lot of people who are business owners, like when I speak to them, they would say they are originally very introverted, but they have been forced to be extroverted, you know, get out of yourself with regards to that. For sure. But I think it's beneficial, because now I'm speaking with you all.
you're absolutely right. And you know what? I think that is always one of the biggest challenges, is that, you know, we are in a time period now where you can't hide behind a brand name. You can't hide behind a logo. Now you gotta be upfront, you know, whether you like it or not. Oh my goodness. There's been too many times where, you know, you want us to record what video? How many video? I think you know, that's definitely one of the biggest problems with now. Now, today, for you, moving the practice from, you know, where dentistry, you know, used to be, and where dental is today, and the things that you have to do, what are some of the things that you have to do today in 2026 that schools, the dental schools, don't tell you, don't teach you? It would never even come to their mind to tell you about it. What are some of the things that you're doing very differently today that they don't teach you in school?
Yep, marketing, branding, as well as business management. Those things that every other business has to deal with, they don't speak to us about that. We just deal with health and wellness of the patient, and that's it. Unfortunately. So right now it's really, really a situation of, you mentioned social media, and all the other aspects of it, Google, and it really, you have to actually do more work now, I would say, than the dentists before us, definitely. It was just word of mouth. Now, word of mouth, of course, is the best marketing ever. But I will say that, of course, there's more and more dentists. So you have to, you know, have your unique selling position. And, you know, let that shine. And, of course, you have to have the skills at the end of the day. Because, you know, you can't just be fooling people. You have to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk. You know? So, definitely.
It's interesting because, you know, Curtis, think about, you know, how you've gone about choosing a dentist, you know, your entire life.
It's different.
The first half of my life, I went wherever my mom sent me.
That's it. That's it.
So yeah. Wherever my mom sent me, that was a dentist I used for a hot minute. And I think the second way that people tend to have chosen dentists over the years was, you know, who was in the area.
Yeah, where you
but
live.
Now, mm-hmm. now you have so much more tools and platforms, and now you're critiquing dentists from so many different aspects, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Dr. G, you know, how does somebody choose a dentist today? Like, what are we looking for? Are we just going to ChatGPT and telling us to find a dentist? What are some of the things that, you know, people should be looking for when they're picking their next dentist?
One of this I've been noticing with regards to how people are choosing dentists, the Google, as you mentioned, ChatGPT. And the funny thing is, it doesn't have to be in the same country either. There are people flying down to Trinidad. Well, if you look on social media, a lot of people are flying down to Colombia and, you know, these Latin countries to get their work done cheaper, even Turkey. So really and truly, because of the power of social media and Google, we are able to now just literally type in exactly what it is you want and then find exactly the person that will do it for you. And what I've noticed is people will go wherever they need to go to get exactly what they want. It could be Point Fortin to Port of Spain.
They're going.
Or it could be New York to Columbia, whatever it is, they are going.
You know, guys, sure. You know, I think that all of this in terms of marketing is now pointing to how much we lean on trust today. Trust is so huge for us. We make every decision based on how much we trust these people and or these companies. And I think we do it differently now. I think trust was always there. We would have leaned on our friends, what they would have said or our parents would have told us to do. But now we have so many other ways to verify trust or to make sure that we trust now. How do reviews and social media and online reputation impact iconic smiles?
I would say it's amazing because they literally come in like if they know you already, like that's if it. That's your partner.
That's it. That's it.
For sure. It's like they're already sold.
They did their stuff already.
Exactly. They've done their homework. They know exactly what they're coming to do. And they think that you are the person that's going to be able to do it for them. The greetings I get is literally feels like, hey, that's my friend.
Yeah. Now, Karen, do you see the branding that is happening on this screen right now? Do you see the quality of branding on the iconic smiles? I trust you.
I trust you. It's iconic. What do you mean?
That's it. I trust you already. Wow.
Tell us about the name. How did we become the iconic smile? How did we become iconic? Tell us about the name.
Yeah. So the thing is, it will have started when it is I decided to do my postgraduate. I have a master's in advanced aesthetics and restorative dentistry. Right. And it's not something that has been done in the Caribbean before. So I was in the first cohort for that at the University of Portsmouth in UK. Now, it's not just aesthetic dentistry and it's not just restorative dentistry. It's a marriage between the two. So it's a very holistic approach. Right.
Yeah.
So that by itself, I felt like because it was like a pioneering transition, it had to be something with a bold name. So the name is actually Iconic Dentistry Plus Aesthetics Limited. Yeah. The Dentistry Plus Aesthetics, that was known for sure that I'll be doing that part. I just didn't know what was going to be that bold name that's going to carry it through, you know? Mm. So, you know, you would experiment with different things and I think a lot of TV, a lot of reality shows.
Beyonce? Dare I say Beyonce?
Beyonce, you understand? You're like, nah, iconic. That's the word. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't say dentistry or aesthetics, you say iconic, you know definitely it's here you're speaking about. Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm amazed. I'm just looking at I like looking at different businesses coming up from different industries and realizing how much we are all the same, how much the principles reign in the same across the various industries. Now, a lot of people, especially business owners, they are posting, but then they start real good and then it just disappears. How important it is for you to be posting, your business to be posting? Do you feel pressure to post? Do you stop posting and realize, oh my gosh, it's weeks have passed by? Is it a staple in the business to keep your social media presence big, to keep your leads coming in? Or is it something that happens just automatically? Where are you at with that?
I think initially, because I wasn't a practice owner at the beginning of my journey, of course, and as a young adult, you on social media anyway, you always scrolling. Mm. So you would be sharing stuff. But because my paradigm was more leading towards dentistry,
right,
those kind of fees will come up a lot. So I would share that on my story, some dental education, how to floss your teeth or whatever it is. And that became automatic for me to do. Right. And so being it now that I've been doing that, transitioning now to doing it for Iconic Dentistry, it's way easier. So this is what I'm speaking about, the obsession. If it is you're doing something that you love from the start, it doesn't feel like work. Definitely doesn't feel like work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Well, you know what, something, Karen? And, you know, one of the things that I tell folks in the business world is, we think that we are posting too much, but I have never seen Iconic Smiles yet, but I just went online and there's a whole world of stuff happening in terms of our social media. So you don't need to slow down with your posting, and you need to ramp up. Because sometimes we feel that way, that we are posting too much, and maybe people get fed up of you saying or showing the same things. But really and truly, the world is so vast, man. You just need to keep putting your stuff out there.
Absolutely. Now, dentistry has changed a lot over the last 10 to 15 years. I'm sure there are tools, technology, things that you're rolling out in your business today that you would have, you know, again, when you were in school, didn't exist. You know, what are some of the tech that's being introduced into the dental practice that is making your life a whole lot easier?
You know, a lot of people are scared of injections. That's one of the things they hate to come to the dentist for.
In your mouth? Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So now you can actually get virtually painless injections done.
Really?
Yeah. Once it is, the practice is willing to invest in the comfort and to bring value to the patient, that's one simple thing that you can do to definitely elevate the experience. And of course, there are the other things that are not only easier for the dentist, but not just easier for the patient, but for the dentist with regards to 3D scanning. We don't have to now use the old school alginate impression and do a mold for your dentures or your bridge or whatever it is that you have to do usually. So it's way more, it's easier. I don't have to now go pull up models and spend extra time now fixing up this model to then send to the lab. I scan, I email it to the lab, and that's it. And I don't have to go to UPS or DHL to send the package to the lab in Miami or wherever it is. I just email it to them. They get it. They start one time. The next thing is we do a lot of, well, I'm in aesthetic dentistry, so we do a lot of smile makeovers. Mm. So when we're designing smiles, take a photo of the patient, use your iPad, create a nice mock-up, show the patient. Patient could get to see it before they even commit to the procedure.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's able
really
to,
cool.
You're able to educate, you're able to empower the patient, and you're able to make a more informed decision on the way forward. And that's definitely key, that informed decision. So they're not going to be like, but you didn't tell me this. No, we're showing you everything. We are planning properly. And again, with all of that, you're speaking to the lab, we're in whatever other country, and they are lazing with us as usual. I mean, we're having a virtual meeting with Karen in Thailand, and you know, so you're able, the patient could come into this conversation and tell the lab, what it is they want. You know, it's more, everybody's more involved. And I think it's way more fun that way. It's way more fun.
AI is impacting every industry, from agriculture to, you know, to medical. You know, what are some of the ways that AI has been impacting the dental industry that you have seen? And, you know, are there any new AI tools or practices, procedures that you have been implementing in the practice as well?
Yeah. So part of the AI tools would be for the patient to see what their smile would look like before and after, before they commit or they pay. There's also the AI tools, just say that somebody's trying to book an appointment, you know, they can do that via AI as well. I haven't started using this, but I went to a dental convention last year in New York, and they have vendors who do AI. You have an AI front desk, you know, so you can also be, you know, you could probably just have one staff member and the AI front desk is doing that aspect. So it really helps with that as well. Efficiency, and it's more economical. Yeah. And again, it's fun. It becomes more fun.
Curtis. No. Where have, like, have you been involved with the ChatGPTs and the Geminis? Have it been a source of help for you, of more information or in-depth research for you? Have you been using it to improve or to expand on your knowledge yet?
Yeah, for sure. You're able to give patients instructions via using the ChatGPT. I can tell the ChatGPT give me some instructions for post-op instructions or sinus precautions for patients. And it's not just, okay, yes, we know it in school, we know what it is, but to give a good presentation of it. And you just forward it to them.
That's good.
You know, it brings the value to it.
That's so
and
good.
That's what you want.
Yeah. Have it impacted your marketing side of things, your copy, your descriptions, and have you been using it on the marketing side?
Yes, for sure. Especially, of course, with the social media posts, you can help with your captions.
Yeah.
It will guide you with that as well.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen... Go ahead, Garen.
I was going to just tack on to your point. The flip side to that, you know, everybody is going through the scenario of people coming to you in your respective zone of genius with ChatGPT information, right?
Oh, God.
I actually wanted to mention that, so yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, what is that dynamic been like? Because now you're getting more people who are going to be pre-qualifying or self-qualifying themselves. You know, what is that interaction like with customers now? Are they coming in more knowledgeable? You know, are the things making sense? You know, are you in a space where you're like, I need to teach people how to use ChatGPT to get better dental information? What has that whole experience been like?
It makes the job easier for sure, because, I mean, when you're explaining to them, they understand it, even if you're not using, if you're using medical jargon as well, because they would have probably done the research to find out what does this mean, because they would have been reading it on ChatGPT as well. So it makes life easier, but it's also pretty surprising too, because you would have patients coming to me, they would have done their research already, they'll be telling me their treatment plan.
Yeah.
And I am like, okay, but the thing is, this gets me excited, because I'm like, okay, so you already understand what is needed to be able
That's
to give
so good.
You the amazing smile that you have, right? So in order to do that, it really makes the job easier. And even imaging as well, being able to put up stuff on the screen and they as well see their videos or whatever, it makes the job easier, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Karen, what that brings to mind is the reality of how we use artificial intelligence today as people. You can literally take a picture of your teeth and ask AI, what is going on here? What do I need to do? And AI can then recommend, literally list the problems and say, you need to go to Iconic Smiles. They're located in X and X and X. And when you get there, tell them you want to get this done, that done, and the other done. How do I know that? Because people show up on my phone at the office and say, I'm in Barbados or I'm in Guyana. And I need to work on my breathing as a singer. I need to work on my diction and my tone. And I'm sitting down there like, okay, well, I don't need to do an assessment anymore because AI did all the pre-work. And they just want to know, okay, so how do I pay and come in? So it really, really, no, it's true. It really, really, AI is playing a big role.
You don't
have
to convince anybody anymore.
That's right. That's right.
Before, they would have probably been like, oh, gosh, you're just trying to get me to do more work.
Yeah.
It's like, no, the AI already write out everything for you already. Yeah, so you know what is expected to get this amazing smile.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I tell everybody that is skeptical on AI that this is the worst that AI is ever going to be.
Yeah.
It's not going to get worse. It's only going to get better. And you're going to get to a point where the margin of error for AI is so minuscule that you could take it almost verbatim as it comes out. But again, the types of things that we can do, Curtis, you alluded to that just now. You know, people are going to be able to take a picture and, you know, take a picture of their mouth. And if there's something going on, you know, ChatGPT, Claude, Grok, these tools are going to be able to give you a pretty good assessment as to what is going on and give you some good guidance. Now, what would you say on the flip side to that, you know, because information from AI needs discernment, where would you say people should draw the line when they're reading information from ChatGPT? So, like, let's just say if they have a problem, you know, where do they draw the line with, I use ChatGPT, I got understanding, but maybe I should check with a professional first? You know, where do you draw the line? Like, what are some good, because again, everybody's doing it, right? And I think the professionals can say, use it up to this point, but you probably shouldn't start ripping out your own teeth just because ChatGPT said you got to do an extraction.
Right. Oh my gosh.
I would say a very controversial topic, fluoride. That's a really big one.
Wow.
A lot of people, especially with the social media now, they keep hearing all these bad things about fluoride. But the thing is that they're thinking about it in a broad sense. ChatGPT hasn't assessed you physically.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? So they don't know if you have a high caries risk, which is a high cavities risk. They don't know your diet, you know. So, for example, when it is the patient is in my chair and you have 10 cavities and 2 root canals that you have to do, and you say you don't want to use fluoride, you're going to end up losing all your teeth at some point. You understand? So it's about educating them to know, okay, I understand that you don't want to use it, but we need to have some middle ground. Let me assess you. What is your diet like? Do you have a sweet tooth? Do you brush your teeth before you go to bed at night? I'm sure you're not flossing. You know?
Oh, God.
These type of things. And it's getting them and educating them to the point of, okay, well, this is your situation, and now let's tailor this towards you now, okay? And that's the difference. And then at some point in time, I don't know why, but at some point in time, you will be able to possibly experiment and not be on your fluoride. Because, I mean, I've been surprised. I've seen patients that don't use fluoride, but then when you look at their lifestyle, they exercise every day. They floss their teeth. They don't eat sweets. They're not into the carbs. So they don't have a lot of complex sugars and those things happening in their mouth all the time. So they are at the ideal. They have the ideal environment for good oral health bacteria and those type of things to thrive. So that's good. But that's not everybody. So, I mean, your mouth is linked to the rest of your body with regards to health. So let's get you a holistic experience. Let's get your entire body where it needs to be so that you can try these advice that you might get on social media or on ChatGPT or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's so good.
I think that's important to note, because what happens is now, you know, I would say, you know, I mean, I don't have the stats to back it up, but just behaviors and what you're noticing, social media has such an impact on the dental industry.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. In from where you sit, has the impact of social media been very good amongst the population? Not just in terms of Trinidad, but just in terms of, you know, has the impact of social media been, has it been good? Or are you seeing a lot of questionable pieces of content or information where now you're always having to be more on the defensive end and trying to explain that, hey guys, I know this went viral, but not so fast. This is not the thing that you should be doing. You know, when you see the information that is on social media regarding the space, you know, what are your thoughts on the type of information that people are consuming? Is it more helpful? Is it more harmful? You know, what's your take?
I think the only two topics that are really controversial, it's the same fluoride as well as the root canals. A lot of people are coming in and saying, if you give them the option of root canal extraction, they're like, they don't want a root canal, right? Because whatever it is they hear or see on social media, they don't want a root canal. So they prefer to take out the tooth, right? Now, there is the aspects of a simple thing, especially when social media became really, really, really popular, but dental social media became really, really popular. I feel like that happened like right before COVID. But a simple thing as a dentist taking a video of them cleaning a patient's teeth, removing all the tartar, all the cartilage from the
That's my right? 3 a.m. vibes. That's my 3 a.m. in the morning vibes.
You're right.
Right? You see? That is the most, the simplest and the most popular video you see a lot of, right? And then, of course, it has graduated to fancy stuff like veneers and Invisalign and all these different things. But if it is, we're just looking at basic cleaning and people are looking at that 3 a.m. in the morning. Before, some people don't even know what that was. Okay, they would just thought that it's a lot of food or cheese stuck in between there, you know.
Cheese.
And I've heard that. Right? They have no idea that this thing cannot be removed with toothbrush and floss. It could only be removed with proper dental tools. You know, so I feel like that aspect of it has definitely helped to educate them and to make them more aware. And then to using the 3D scanner, when you scan someone's mouth and they see for themselves the condition of their mouth, the amount of tartar buildup or the cavities or whatever, sometimes they're like, I don't want to see this, but it's also it's also a wake-up call. Because I can say what I need to say forever and ever, amen, and they're not going to listen, right? So it's really good to be able to use the tools like that to show them, and then they will take it into their own hands to be like, okay, I really need to start a floss. I really need to do my cleanings every 6 months because that tartar buildup is going to get out of hand, you know? And it will also help with your health, because when you remove that tartar buildup, you end up not getting gum disease, and that's what we don't want. A lot of people think that gum disease is something very trivial, but there's the reversible and irreversible kind of gum disease.
Wow.
So you don't ever want to be in the irreversible type of gum disease, because that's where, as you get older, your teeth start to shake, and eventually it will start to fall out, and you want to blame age, an age of 60-something for your teeth shaking and you need dentures. When really and truly, it's because you're not flossing every day, you're not doing your cleanings every 6 months. So the people now that are more aware and they're more educated because of what they're seeing on social media, it's helping them. Wow. So people get to keep their teeth for longer now.
Wow.
And that's what we want.
Curtis, I don't know about you, but let me tell you, I got floss in every part of my house, you know. I got floss by the desk. I got floss by the bed. I got floss.
That is wild.
I'm not playing.
We want to smile for a long time. We want to smile for... We just don't want to watch smiles online. We want to smile. We want to be on the good side of it. Now, for me as a parent, we are always paying attention to our kids' teeth. Now, I've heard people say that it's okay if the children's teeth are rotten and they're going to drop out just now. They're going to get brand new teeth just now. So they don't focus so much on a child's teeth. And I don't see a lot of content online about children's teeth or the importance of children's, the dental health for children. What is your position on that? How early should parents get involved in getting their children sorted out? As early as how much,
Yeah, so I'm going to divert a little bit and come back to that because it's linked. So there's a question we ask patients if they have any periodontal disease or gum disease in their family. And they would say yes. But really and truly, it's not something genetic. Sometimes it is, but for the most times, it's not something genetic. It's a habit you pick up.
Wow.
So if nobody in the house going to the dentist every 6 months for their cleaning, if nobody in the house flossing the teeth every day, you're going to end up with gum disease. And that's what we don't want. So the thing is that if it is, you can start to nurture your child from day one to like to clean, brush their teeth and come to the dentist and do their cleanings, it would help. Yeah. Now, so that aspect of, okay, you have your child and they have their baby teeth. Yes, it will fall out. But the thing is that you want them to fall out when they're supposed to.
That's good.
You want it to fall out on schedule, right? If a child loses one of their molars too early, they can end up with riders as a teenager.
Wow.
Right?
Didn't know
so
that.
So really, you see, exactly. So you want to ensure that they're taking care of the teeth that they have so that they don't end up with rotten teeth and having to extract the tooth sooner than they can. The other thing is building habits. It is way easier to get a child to start flossing, more like associating brushing with flossing at 5 years old or even earlier, than opposed to trying to get your teenager at 16 years old to start to floss.
That's good.
Right?
That's good.
They're going to forget because it's not a habit. It hasn't been something that's been affiliated with each other, brushing and flossing, right? And the thing is, a lot of times parents don't floss, so they wouldn't tell the child to floss either. Right? So if it is, we can get everybody on the same program and we start from early. You can keep your teeth for as long as you want. All I need to see you for your 6 months cleaning. I'll be brightening that smile, get your little teeth whitening if you want, and that's it.
That is so good.
But it's to get everybody to start to get that mindset. Because, again, it also affects your health. We want immaculate oral health. We want immaculate health in general as well.
Yeah. That's so good.
Now, I think that's a perfect segue into some of the more important work or the more important side of dentistry, because I don't know if they taught you in the dental school that you're also going to become an unofficial therapist.
Right.
An unofficial confidence coach. I don't know if they talk about these things in school. I don't know if these things are hats that you pick up along the way. Your first day on the job, you're like, how did I become a therapist? What is going on? Your promotion, you didn't get it. What's going on? So, you know, when it comes to your smile, perception, confidence, how important is this unspoken thing called your smile?
It's 100% something that everybody needs to take a look at. First impression counts. You don't want to be walking into a room and you have a resting bitch face. Right? You want to be approachable, right? Professionally for the people in their careers or as well as entrepreneurs, right? I mean, you're trying to get people to say yes.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, one of the first things is to be approachable, to draw people in. Even when it is you're having a conversation, you may be talking to them and trying to convince them of something or giving your two cents, and you probably are the smartest person, right? But because of the confidence level, you may be kind of shying away while speaking to them. So they're not engaged. And remember, the best thing is to look at someone in their eyes for trust. So you want to be able to be confident, nothing close to your torso, and you're just speaking about what it is you want to get done. And people will be more trusting. Wow. You will get further. But I personally believe that.
Mm-hmm. I agree, because you know what? I mean, we're all human.
Yeah.
And there's something about, let me tell you something, man. When you have bad oral health, there is nothing more jarring than you're face to face with somebody. And I mean, we're all human, and we all think it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are sitting here trying to have a conversation and someone's oral health isn't where it needs to be, it hurts the entire conversation.
Yeah.
Now, when you bring this into the business aspect, and you, like you said, you're trying to get people to say yes, I don't know what happens, and maybe you could speak to this, but something goes on in our brains when you're looking at somebody and you're seeing they might not have good oral hygiene, so the halitosis might be kicking up, you know. Mm-hmm. The teeth may be distracting. And I mean, they could be the nicest people in the world.
Yeah.
What is going on with us? Why is your teeth something that we just can't, we fixate on your teeth? Why?
The same way how, I mean, it's the first thing when you're talking, people are looking at reading your lips too, you know?
Yeah.
That's great. Some people, they look at you look down at your lips to register what you're saying.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? So it definitely, it's 100% one of the things that you need to take into consideration.
And you know what? You know,
it's distracting. Distracting.
That's it.
You don't want to be distracted. You don't want the person you're talking to be distracted by your breath, right? And you also want to be able to hear what the person has to say, you know, on the other end of it. So,
yeah. No, you're right.
Curtis,
you know,
impossible.
I'm thinking how much of an impact just losing one tooth does to your entire smile. If you come to a business place, or especially if it's a premium service you're about to get, and you come up to find out about it, and this person just is missing their front teeth, I am starting to second guess if I should be here or not, because it seems like you cannot get that fixed. That means the business is not making money. That means I shouldn't be here either. You understand what I mean? It doesn't seem to be a successful place that everybody wants to come. All of it is just tied in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your teeth is a major part of your brand. Wow. I'm going to talk about this in the future very soon.
Wow. And the thing is, it's whether we like it or not, because I know that, you know, at the end of the day, we would say, you know, we got to accept everybody, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is still the reality is that when you're having a conversation, when you are in business, when you are trying to get... And you know what, Curtis, we had... I can't remember if you had joined us as yet. We had an HR rep sometime last year. And we were talking about first impressions. And your smile, your breath, these are things that were brought up in an HR conversation.
Wow.
And it was, we didn't even ask about it. We were talking about, you know, best things to do coming into an interview. I think it was Akeem Branford we had. And Akeem was like, oh God, first thing is you gotta brush your teeth.
Wow.
I'm like, brush your teeth? He's like, like, you know how many people come into an interview and you smell their breath before you even see who they are.
Wow.
And this is an HR we're talking about, mm-hmm. right? This is an HR we're talking about. This is you coming in for an interview. Your smile has impacts that we'd never really articulate or ever really think about. And this is why, you know, we got to have this conversation. We all want to climb the corporate ladder. We all want to do more business, right?
Yeah.
And your smile could be impacting that. So for the people who, and this is going to be important, for the people who might not necessarily have the resources to start going about their Invisalign journey or going about their braces, you know, but their teeth might not be in the best state. You know, what are some things that people could do just to kind of, I don't know how you navigate that. So I'm just asking the question. What do we do? What is the starting point? Where do we start?
Proper habits and mindset, because I mean, brushing and flossing, that is a habit that a lot of people need to get into. You can be educated when using any fluoride toothpaste, and you need a fluoride mouthwash. But for the ones who can't afford to go to the dentist every 6 months, there is the health center that does your cleanings and stuff, you know? So you can do that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that. Know something.
So you can, you know, join the clinic like that way, or there's also the Mount Hope Dental School as well. Yeah. That you can go to and at least get your cleanings done. And if let's say, because your bad breath could also be because of a cavity where food keeps getting in there and it's causing this stench as well. So you can get those things fixed also. So there isn't much excuses except that you just don't want to do it.
I'm seeing also that we have to start seeing the importance of it, the true importance of it, because we really and truly pay for what we want and what we value. So we might think, Nicole, I have a lot of money to do that. But we spend 10 times that on other things that don't last or that are not important to our health. So I think it's so important. Correct. Some people just need to text back and forth, but they have a $10,000 iPhone. You know what I mean? So I think the importance and what you're doing, especially, I looked at your Instagram page. You do a lot of teaching there and trying to bring awareness off of your page. So I think that is so important because we need to understand what is truly valuable in life now, especially, Karen, we're going up to these 40s numbers. We need to get this thing together. Right? We need to...
absolutely. And I mean, talking about, you know, getting it together, the big question is always when we're talking about fixing our teeth, you know, do I go the route of braces? Do I go the route of Invisalign? Dr. G, tell us, you know... When does somebody do braces versus Invisalign? Is there pros and cons to each, or you know, what do people have to think about when they're making that decision?
Right now, because of AI and the advancement in technology, Invisalign is pretty comparable to braces now. So you can get a lot of complex procedures done with Invisalign. Well, so it's really a situation of preference at this point. There are the, especially the younger ones that they like in their braces because they look cool. Some Jamaican artists are wearing them, you know, so they want to have that look, you know. And then there's, of course, the professionals who don't want people to be distracted by what's happening in their mouth. They would prefer the clear alternative, which would be the Invisalign. Now, if it is your thinking, hygiene as well. Now, when you have Invisalign, you just remove your trays. You're able to brush your teeth, floss it, and put back in your trays if you are eating lunch or whatever the case is. But with the braces, you're going to have food stuck in between there. Yes, you can clean it, but it's a little more of a task because now you have to put that floss in between those wires and go through every single tooth like that. And if it is you have not been a flosser before, you're probably not going to be doing it very often. That is not motivating. So it's just going to compromise your oral health even more, and it will eventually cause the gum disease that we're trying to avoid, the cavities and those type of things. But with proper oral care, either one can work. But it's really just a matter of preference.
Do you think people understand just how much oral hygiene impacts overall health?
That's something I feel like I have to constantly keep saying. No, because they separate their mouth from the rest of their body. That's what happens, right? Mm. They will be in the gym religiously. They will go to their 5Ks. They will do everything else. They are the ones who will go and spend. I've had a patient like this, literally, fittest person. He went to the doctor, getting some headaches, trying to figure out what is happening. Did everything, went and do an MRI, spent a certain money on MRI and all these different things, and still nothing. And when he mentioned it to me, I said, and this was outside of the office, this is a friend of mine, When he was outside the office, he told me about all of this, and then I said, but what about your teeth? Did you check and see what's happening? And he watched me, and of course, the blush come. And when it is, they're looking, when he finally came in, that was the problem all along.
Wow.
Your teeth. Right? So, I mean, everybody is about their appearance, and they're proud of it, and they say they get up 5 a.m. in the morning, they do this, they're very hygienic and those things, but they neglect the mouth. But I think it's more ignorance. And of course, being able to educate them, the ones that are now aware of it, they definitely make the shift. And that's what we want. We want more people to be able to know what's happening so they can make the shift faster. I think that's what the social media helps to do as well.
I think that's such an interesting topic, because on one side of the fence, we are told, to wear your smile. Wear your smile, right? Whatever smile you have, wear it. We have people that have riders. I know a few girls with some riders. And I'm like, hey, don't get rid of them riders, eh? Dude, them riders look cute. Don't get rid of them riders, right? They look cute. Right? You have, and we know people, they don't have a perfect smile, but their smile is still infectious, still good. But it could also be the source of pains. I have a friend. She has a rider. She has a cute smile, but she suffers from big headaches. Wow. And every other day, I'm like, maybe it's time for some braces. It's you're never saying it, in a way like, your smile is bad. But I don't think people understand that.
Yes.
Misaligned teeth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lead to actual health problems.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. It's not about aesthetics. It's about function. Yep. For sure. That was that person's problem. And end up going and do CT scan and all type of things. And if it's just your teeth, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I can't even deal with the pain of having something stuck in the back of my teeth. I can't even deal with that pain. Let alone misaligned teeth, which is permanent, so it's not like you could just floss it and get it on your and you're good to go. Like, no, you gotta go through the whole entire process.
Yes.
But I definitely don't think people put two and two together, and like you said, they treat the mouth like a whole entire separate function of the body all together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the thing is, you mentioned that you're telling her not to change her riders and stuff. There are certain procedures where we can work hand in hand with the patient, still let them keep their character. So let's say somebody with a space in their front teeth, then their midline diastema, right? Mm. There's a lot of celebrities that have it as well. Mm. And they feel like that is part of their signature look, right? Or it's a family.
You can't get rid of Fian. You can't get rid of Fian. Oh, space. You can't
exactly,
get rid of
right? So in those particular moments, this is why the digital technology is so amazing, because I could actually show them how the teeth would look if we completely close it. I could show them if it is this is their teeth and we close it just a little bit to make it a little more conservative, or if we just leave it as is. So there are times when we can leave it, but we fix the function of the bite to the back so that they get the balanced bite, so that they don't get the headaches and those type of things as well. Wow. My mom is definitely an example of that. She didn't have spacey teeth, but she liked a bimaxillary proclamation, which is like the 2-inch, the upper and lower incisors protruding a bit. And she said, like, that was her look. And in dentistry, we call that root mouth, right? But she liked her root mouth. So I fixed everything else. I shifted what I needed to shift to be able so that she still has a healthy bite and that she still gets to feel like herself. Mm. So you don't always have to completely shift around the entire look. Mm-hmm.
Wow, you can customize smiles now.
You can customize smiles.
I like that. Now, now, as we're getting to the top of the hour, we're getting to that close. I wanted you to speak to the transformation that you see in people themselves when they have gone from day zero with you to going through an entire program, whether it's braces or Invisalign, but you went through a whole entire corrective procedure. Talk to us about what you see in terms of transformation in people, you know, from day zero to when everything is finished.
Of course, at first they would talk less, they would cover their mouths when they're laughing, you know, and as they start to see the difference, eventually posture changes, they get a little louder, they more expressive. They can laugh loud and, you know, kick back your head if you want to. You know, as well as because it's the psychology of the smile as well. So they will also be thinking about their mindset shifts. So they look at themselves differently in the mirror now. So now they might be like, I want to go get my hair done a certain way. Let me do this type of hairstyle. Let me put on some red lipstick now, especially, you know, because when you have red lipstick, you know, everybody's seeing your teeth, right? So now they're doing the red lipstick and they have that va-va-voom look, you know? They get way more confident.
Is there a story? We don't have to obviously not name any names, but is there a story that really stuck out to you just in terms of that transformation?
Something
that stuck out to you over your years?
Yeah, a surprising one. The patient was varying on 70 years old, if not 70 already. And she came up to me asking me, telling me that she heard that I do Invisalign and she wants to do it. And I was a bit shocked by that because you don't usually get older folks to want to do those type of things. So I was like, yes, I can help you. And it was exciting for me as well. And to see that level of transformation was amazing. And I mean, at that age, she was ready to invest. She felt like it was an investment. And a lot of people listening, they would have sacrificed so much over their years. They would have probably been dealing with a mortgage, dealing with their kids, you know, and it's like, it's time for them. They want to finally feel and do the things they really wanted to do for themselves, no matter the age. And she was one of those people. And you saw the transformation. You saw the vava of woman, the attitude started to come out and stuff. It was nice. It was really cute.
Listen, I think that is so important because, Curtis, you already know we have to be visible. Whether you are an employee in an organization, you're encouraged to build your personal brand. If you want to, you know, that's going to be part of climbing the corporate ladder. Your smile plays a role in that. Because it also, as Jordan has been laying down for us, it impacts your personality. It impacts your confidence. If you are not yourself when you are showing up to these interviews, then you're going to get picked up. You're going to get passed over by people who show up more confident.
That's it.
Who show up that you know that they look and they feel like they can actually do this job, even if you might be the more qualified person. Your energy just might not be there. Where it needs to be. To be selected. And in business, listen, trust is everything. Trust is everything. Mm-hmm. And your smile, you know, do you want that person, you know, how do you want that person to feel when they're conducting business with you, when they're in that meeting with you? These are things that impact the outcomes of your business. So Your smile is not just the aesthetic.
Right.
It is your oral health all wrapped up in there. It is your public perception. It is part of your brand. It is part of your business card.
Yeah.
And when they talk about Visa face, name somebody with Visa face that, you know, don't have something, you know, good going on inside their mouth. Like, that's all a part of it. A $1 million smile, you know, goes a long way. So this is a conversation that, you know, we are glad to have. Because we have, one, we have a lot of young dentists that are graduating, that are trying to figure out, you know, their place in the world. You know, it's Trinidad and Tobago, so, you know, you see dentists, dental clinics all over the place. You know, what are people doing to kind of separate themselves? Is this still a field to go into? These are some things that, you know, we got to speak about today and got some good insights about. But in closing for you, what would you want Trinidad and Tobago to know about Iconic and, you know, why they should be prioritizing their oral health in 2026?
Iconic Dentistry is all about patient comfort, right? You get to decide what you want to listen to on YouTube. You can get all types of different comfort menu stuff that we have. We really, really value customer service. And we try to bring value as much as we can, always being innovative. We also are located in El Socorro. And of course, you all can see us on any social media platform. We're on all of them.
That's nice. There we go.
What's the handles? Give us the handles.
So there's the Iconic Dentistry TT on Instagram and on TikTok. And just Iconic Dentistry plus Aesthetics on Facebook as well. Yeah, you can find us on Google too.
That's good. We can Google you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, sale. Yeah, promo.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, God.
Listen. Thank you for taking the time and joining us here. We know you're busy saving lives. You know, you're one of the heroes that don't wear capes, but you're saving lives every day.
That's right.
Because, listen, toothache is none to play with, you know. Toothache is none to play with.
It's no joke.
Anytime you have a problem with your mouth, let me tell you, you're balling for a dentist, you know. You're balling for a dentist.
They say toothache worse than pregnancy, yeah?
We've heard that.
And it makes sense because it's directly attached. Like, you know what's so funny? When you said that people treat their mouth like a whole separate functional side of their body, but it's connected to your head.
Your brain.
Anything. A brain freeze. I can't even eat ice cream the wrong way now. Because as soon as the ice cream touched the wrong tooth or the sensitive tooth or... all of that hurts, yeah. You know? So yeah. I don't know how anybody thinks their mouth is outside of it. Like, oral health is huge. And that is something that we definitely, you know, we can't afford to play with. But we also have to understand that, you know, your smile, outside of your physical health, your smile has other impacts in your life. And, you know, we all want to win. Your smile is a part of the winning formula.
Thank
you for joining us today. You gave us a lot to talk about. I'm sure we'll talk to you at some point again later on in the year, because dentistry, technology, AI, so many things are changing, and, you know, we want to keep up to date with all the things happening within the tech space in different fields. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. This was very exciting, and yes, we'll definitely speak again.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
And trust and believe. Right. Wow. Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.